is a Pinball News production.
Hi. Thank everybody for coming this morning. My name's Phoebe Smith. I'm from Cincinnati, Ohio. I've been interested in pinball since I was a teenager. And that was back in the 80s, or my son usually says the dark ages. I never thought that I would be able to own a pinball machine of my own, let alone get to work on some of these great pieces of history. I first started working on pins back in 2001. A friend of ours had an old Gottlieb World Beauties, and he asked if my husband could try to get it working for him. And he also needed someplace to store it because he was moving. And we had just gotten a new house, and we had room, so we took it. And we finally got it working. And after we got it working, I'm kind of like, okay, well, we're going to fix it up for him. We're going to clean it up and fix it up, paint up the plate on the back glass. And we had just gotten our first pin, Williams Space Shuttle. And it was pretty rough, and it needed some restoration, too. So my husband had decided that he was going to do the restorations himself, and we'll just suffice it to say that that didn't go so well. And he turned the brush over to me, and I've been doing it ever since. I love the feeling that you get when you restore the machine and bring it back to life, save it from the dump. Before we get started, I have, to keep everyone awake, because it's way too early in the morning, I have a few prizes to give away. And in order to win the prizes, you need to watch the screen, and there will be a picture with a red border come up on the screen, like this one. The picture will be from a movie, there will be a pin in the picture, and if you can tell me what the pin is and what the movie is, you can come up and pick a prize. If you get one but not the other, I'll move on to the next person. And if you all have problems, I have a few hints that I can give. Does anyone, just for fun, does anyone know what this one is?
Yes, it's an Adventures of ABC.
No. It's a John Candy film. He takes his family on vacation to the beach for the summer.
Summer rentals.
Yeah. Does anybody know what the pin is?
Inga Diamond.
This is my game, and I make the rules, so
typical female.
Try to know one of the answers before you stand up. And they're not $1 million prizes or anything, so no fighting. Only one prize per person. Okay, so let's try one for real, and somebody can get a prize if they know what it is. Stand up. If you think you know it, stand up. Come up and get a prize.
Well, what was the answer?
Porky Snippet. Sorry, the pictures aren't the best quality because I was putting the movies in my DVD player and taking pictures of the actual screen when the pin came up.
Thank you.
Okay, now let's get back to the presentation. Remember to watch for the red border. I'm going to give you an overview of some of the things that work for me when I'm doing a restoration. I'm not saying that this is the only way to do it by any means, and I figure if somebody gives me a tip that they use and I try it and I like it, then I use it. If not, I don't. So I'm giving you guys some options that you can use to restore your own machines. If they work for you, that's great. My goal here is to help anyone who is interested in restoring their own machine not only do it, but be successful at it. It's really a great feeling when someone comes up to your machine and looks at it and says, oh wow, this machine is really nice, you know, it's in really nice shape. You can just look at them and say, thank you, I did it myself. And that's my son, by the way, that's his machine. Most of the equipment that I use is just common things that are easy to find at a hobby or craft store. First, I'll talk about the different types of paint. There are many different types of paint and varying opinions on what works best and what's the best kind of paint to use. I personally prefer the Americana acrylics for a few reasons. First off, they have a lot of color choices. There's many, many, many different shades of every color available. Second off, if you can't find the exact color right out of the bottle, they're really easy to mix. And third, and probably most important, is they're relatively inexpensive, so you don't have to put a whole lot into it.
Question. What store is this you're showing us here?
What is it?
A store you would prefer not to endorse?
No. But Michael's, Hobby Lobby.
Yeah, we do have those.
Yeah. There are many other types of paint out there. There's Liquitex acrylics, and they come in a tube. They're a bit more expensive. They have more pigmentation in them, so they're generally more opaque on a clay field. I've used them. I prefer to use these because they're easier to mix and they're less expensive.
Phoebe, I concur on your brand selection of Americana. I found it to be the most consistent and the best in color. I found the worst to be Apple Barrel because the colors are thinnest. I'll put it to that one.
Yeah.
So, and they sell at Michael's, for instance, both brands. So I stay.
Yeah, they
from
do.
Apple.
They're right next
yeah.
to each other.
Yeah, I stay
I
away
in
from
one
Apple
picture,
Barrel.
You can see them.
Comment?
Clay just said that he uses the Americana, that they're the most, and he said probably the worst is the Apple Barrel because they're so thin. And
yeah, the colors just don't, you know, when you put them on, they're almost like translucent on the Apple Barrel. The Americanas, the pigments are much, they're just bolder. You know, you don't have to put as many coats on and it covers better, and the reds are more red, you know.
Except
that
for yellow.
Thing.
I think whatever colored yellow you use.
Yeah, yellow is really hard. Some of the light colors are hard to paint with because they always are kind of like almost translucent.
Brushes are also very important to a good touch-up job. A good set of brushes will help your painting go much smoother and much quicker because you don't have to stop all the time and pick the little bristles out of your work.
Awesome. Thank you.
Many people, my husband included, try to use whatever brush is just laying around. His brush choice when he was attempting to restore a machine was one of those little white, has the white handle with the black bristles that comes with the little model paint. Brushes come in all shapes and sizes, and it's very important to have a variety for your touch-ups. Hobby shops have many different kinds of brushes, all different price ranges. You don't need the most expensive, but you do need a decent set. The ones that I use most often are Golden Taclon. They're a medium-priced brush, and they work well, and they don't lose bristles too often. I usually try to replace them.
Golden Taclon.
T-A-K-L-O-N.
Yeah. I usually try to replace them whenever they start getting frayed. You know, after you use them for a while, they're going to do that. Or if they have that one little bristle that just wants to go that way and won't stay where it's supposed to be. Other things that come in handy when you're doing touch-ups are a circle template. The circle template comes in handy when you're doing the borders around the inserts. And I just got this at Michael's, and it has all different sizes.
Do you use markers to do those circles or paint?
No. No, I don't use markers to do that. I also have a mixing tray. The mixing tray comes in handy when you can't get the exact color that you need and you have to mix paint. I also use, when I'm doing a backlash, I don't normally use this on a play field, but acrylic paint retarder. It comes in handy, helps with the translucency, and also takes brush strokes out when you're working on a backlash.
What is that called again, sir?
This brand is actually Liquitex, but slow dry fluid paint retarder for acrylic paints.
And you use that primarily on back glasses to...
Yeah. It helps with the... It's a paint thinner. So it helps with the translucency and the brush strokes. I also use triple thick on a back glass. I put it on the back glass before I do the touch-ups, and that way whatever's left of the artwork originally is protected. Also, an X-Acto knife and masking tape and toothpicks come in handy when you're doing this. All these things can be found at hobby shops or even a hardware store. Yeah, come up and get a prize.
What was it?
The Thing and the pinball machine is Heat Wave. Steve's not here, but that's Steve Kordak.
Do you use airbrush at all?
No. Not, I have, but not real often. Can we hold the questions till the end?
Sure. Yeah. The circle template, do you use marking pen to put those?
No. I use a pencil. Pencil. A pencil. I use a pencil and then I fill it in with paint.
Oh, just for marking.
Okay. When I'm going to touch up a play field or a back glass, the preparation is really important. On a play field, it's important to get dirt and old wax off the play field before you paint it. It helps to make the paint adhere. If there's dirt or old wax on it, the paint's not going to stick. If the play field is really dirty, I use Novus 2 to remove the dirt and dust. And for ground and dirt and ball swirls, I use Magic Eraser and Naphtha. Be careful with the Magic Eraser. Try it in an inconspicuous area before you really go to town with it. Magic Eraser is like a very fine sandpaper. I've used it on some play fields and scrubbed really, really hard, and it doesn't have any effect at all. It doesn't even take out the ball swirls. Then on other play fields, you just barely touch the play field. You don't scrub hard at all, and you're down to the wood before you even realize it. So make sure you test it first and be careful. After I scrub the play field down with Magic Eraser, I don't know if anybody's ever done it, but there's usually a white residue all over the play field from the Magic Eraser. I use Naphtha. I wipe the play field down with Naphtha after I'm done cleaning it. That removes the white residue, and it also removes any oil off of your skin on the play field before you start painting. I let it dry for a few minutes while I get my paints ready. On a back glass, the same is true. You must remove the dirt, dust, and nicotine if you can. On badly flaking glasses, sometimes it's not possible. There's really no good way to clean them if they're flaking really badly. You just kind of have to do the best you can and cross your fingers. I use Windex to clean back glasses. I was waiting for that. I don't use it on badly flaking glasses, and I test it first. And I don't just hose the whole back glass down. I put a little bit of Windex on a paper towel and wipe gently in a corner somewhere to make sure and test how it's going to react. Just like on a play field, it's going to react differently on different glasses. So test it first and be careful. Yeah, I spray it on a paper towel and then wipe gently. Sorry, I didn't say it loud. After I'm done cleaning it, I set it aside and let it dry for a good bit before I go on. I've never had any problems cleaning a back glass this way. Just remember to wipe gently. You know, don't scrub it like you're scrubbing with Magic Eraser. Just wipe gently and test it first. You need to clean the glass as much as possible, because if the dust or dirt is still on it, the triple thick won't adhere like it's supposed to. This is especially true on older EM glasses. They tend to have an oily residue from the score reels. And if you don't remove that oily residue, and you can see it up there by the balls, if you don't remove it, the triple thick, nor the paint, either one, will stick to it.
So how do you clean those?
Same way, Windex. Yeah. And speaking of triple thick, I seal all the glasses that I do with triple thick before I touch them up. I clean them, and then I seal them with triple thick. There are different kinds of triple thick. The one that I use is this one right here. Triple thick, crystal clear glaze, and you got to make sure it's number 0500.
Like Krylon.
Yeah, Krylon.
Because there's other brands.
Yeah, there's other brands, and there's other what, numbers? There's like a 1300 or something like that. But you have to have the 0500 is the one that works for me. When you put the triple thick on, after it dries, when you start your touch-ups, if you put on a color and you don't have the match that you want, it's not matching up right, you can just take a paper towel, a little bit of water, and wipe it off and start over. The triple thick also protects if the glass is flaking, bubbling. It'll also stop it from flaking or bubbling, and you can actually touch the glass without wiping off artwork. And it also protects it in the future to keep it from continuing to flake. After your playfield or back glass is clean and dry, you're ready to start your touch-ups. You guys have to know the movie, or the pin. Okay, the movie stars Ray Liotta, Joe Pesci, Robert De Niro.
My cousin, baby.
No, they're, okay, yeah. Nobody knows the pin?
Astro?
Yeah, that's one. That's one of them. Goodfellas and Astro. Yeah, I was expecting the other one, actually. Yeah. You got it. Whoever said. On a play field, the first step is matching the color that you're going to touch up. As I said before, I use the Americana acrylic paints. There are many shades of each color. I've taken some pieces of plexiglass. I put a sample of every color that I have on these pieces of plexiglass. And when I'm getting ready to touch up a playfield or back glass, I lay that particular section on the playfield and I slide it back and forth until I get the color that's the closest. When I find the color that's close, I take a brush, put a little bit in a spot off to the side somewhere, and let it dry, because the colors tend to darken as they dry. Unfortunately, it's not always going to work out that you get an exact match right out of the bottle. In this case, you have to mix colors. This is where the handy dandy little mixing tray comes in, and some toothpicks. It's right there in the box, I'm not gonna go get them. I take the lighter of the two colors that I'm gonna use, and I put a couple drops in, and then I put the other color in, mix them up with a toothpick, and then same thing, put it on and test it, and let it dry, and see if it's going to darken up and be too dark. If the color matches good, you can go ahead and paint. If it's not, you can wipe it off and try again. Mixing paints is kind of the trickiest part. When you're trying to get the correct match, you have to try to figure exactly how much paint you're going to need, depending on how large of an area you're painting. But yet, you don't want to mix a whole lot because you don't want to waste it. This is where the Americanas come in handy, too, because they're so inexpensive. If you mix more than you need, you don't feel, if it's not the right color, you don't feel quite as bad about not using it. Once you've found your color or are happy with your mix, then once you've found your correct match, you can go ahead and paint. Somebody stand up. I saw a hand. Sorry. Oh, okay. I'll get questions at the end. Who stood up?
Was it Roadhouse?
No. Yeah. Yeah. Come up and get a prize. Next of kin, Black Hole. It's also Roadkin in the background. As I mentioned before, choosing your brush is key to doing a good touch-up job. Obviously, the larger the area that you're going to paint, the bigger the brush that you need. Normally, the biggest brush I use is a half inch. It's possible, if you're going to do a larger solid color area, it's possible to use an airbrush. I'll talk about airbrushes when I talk about doing backlasses. I have a big supply of brushes. I tend to use certain ones more than others, just simply because that's what I'm comfortable with. Everybody has a comfort zone and what you like to use. There are many choices to choose from. There are small detail brushes called liners. Then there are brushes with longer bristles called script brushes. I tend to use these more for detail because I'm more comfortable with the longer bristle. Then you have square blenders or shaders. Then you have square ones with angled bristles that are supposed to be for doing larger areas, lines. There's all kinds. I could go on because, like I said, there's many types of brushes. I'll just tell you that I have a few favorites. These are ones that I pretty much use for everything that I touch up. I have a script brush, which is what I use for small detail or lines. Then I have a detail brush with really small bristles that I use for really small areas or doing straight lines. I have square shader. I use this one for just about everything. This is my favorite brush. Sometimes for lines, when you use this one, and I know it's square, but it's not a detail brush, but when I'm doing a line, I can put more paint on the brush, and if I get it positioned exactly right on the line, you can keep your line going and not have to stop and get more paint on the brush as often. I tend not to use the larger brushes. That's just, like I said, a comfort factor. I have my favorites. You can try whatever works for you. If you know Stand Up.
I'm
right. Okay, do you know the movie?
Oh.
Oh, a little problem there.
I'm sorry, what? No. Okay. It's a Stephen King movie. Stars Emilio Estevez. The machines come to life.
I think Maximum Overdrive?
Yes. You know, Pin?
Yeah.
I'm going to make you say it. on most play fields, the most common spot for wear is right down the middle. This is where there's many inserts for bonus count, etc. These tend to sink with age. Yeah, I know, we all hate the age thing. As they sink, the ball tends to hit the raised areas, and this causes the wear. If the inserts are sunken really badly, it's a good idea to take them out and reseat them with super glue. After they're leveled, you can touch up the area. Some areas are tougher to do this on than others, obviously. One of the best ways that I've found to do this is to start by painting in a base color. Then I get a picture of the area. I put the design in with a pencil, or if it's straight lines, a ruler can be your friend. Sometimes in certain areas, I actually take the ruler, put the paint on my brush, and use the ruler as my straight edge, and paint along the edge of the ruler. My circle template comes in handy here for putting the circles back around the inserts, borders back. I find the proper size, and then I put it down, take the pencil, draw in the insert, and then I take my brush, and normally black paint, and paint the border back in. Some people use Sharpie for doing the circles on inserts, and also for touch-ups on playfields. I tried it on my Firepower 2. I would not advise using Sharpies on your playfields for a couple of reasons. If you're not going to clear the playfield, the Sharpie will come right back off when you clean and wax it. If you are going to clear coat the playfield, Sharpie will, when it's cleared, it will bleed sometimes. If it's a black area, it's not going to show up real well, but if it's a different color, it'll show up. Just my opinion, but I would stick with the paint. Another thing about Sharpie, if you're going to touch up a playfield and somebody's already touched it up with Sharpie, it's a good idea to remove the Sharpie from the playfield before you touch it up. I did an eight ball this summer, and somebody had touched up some of the green on the playfield with Sharpie, and I didn't know it. I painted it, was all done painting it, started clearing it, had like the first two coats of clear on it. Walk out and look at it. It's like a big grease stain right in the middle of the playfield. So I had to sand all the clear off, sand all the paint off, sand the playfield to get all the Sharpie off because the Sharpie soaks right in. Sanded the playfield down, got all the Sharpie off, and then I had to repaint, re-clear. Wasn't fun. Also, when you're working on a playfield and it has some serious wear in the center and there's a really complicated design to recreate and you scrub with magic eraser and it doesn't all come out, when you're done touching it up, you can actually replace ball swirls so that the area where you touched up doesn't look like a brand new painted area and the other area is still around it. After you've done your touch-ups, you can actually take a pencil and put, you know, like the little, you know how the ball swirls look like a little half circle? Take the pencil, put a little half circle, take your finger and rub it a little bit, and voila, you have ball swirls. Oh, come on, guys. Okay, Burt Reynolds. He jumps a gorge with a rocket-powered red Trans Am. He's a stuntman. Who said that? Stand up. on the pinballs. These are tough ones. They're Atari's first pin. And okay, nobody was standing up, but I don't know who said that first. No, it's not Matahari. No, it's another Atari pin. But anyway, I don't know who said that first. Yeah, nobody stood up. I saw this gentleman right here. I heard him say the Atarians. So, okay. I said it's my game. I make the rules. If nobody's going to stand up, then I have to pick. Some playfields have dotted areas called dithering. This is from the screening process to produce a shaded area or shaded look. These are very hard, if not impossible, to replace. I've actually done it in smaller areas. I took a needle and a magnifying glass, and I dipped a needle in the paint and took the magnifying glass and held it over the playfield and touched it. You get about two dots to a needle with paint. And when you take the, trying to get it in the same pattern is what you need the magnifying glass for. It usually doesn't look original. And it takes a very, very long time. And you go cross-eyed. An option that I've also used is to add more design to the area, like on my Jungle Lord. The playfield had wear up in the little mini playfield area. And it's all that dithering, it's all the dotted area. There was no way I was going to replace all those dots and make it look halfway decent. So that tree branch just happened to run across the top of the area, and it was right where the wear was. So I added an extra tree branch to cover up the area.
You will.
Another option is you can paint the entire area solid color. Some other commonly worn areas that are very dirty, the areas under the plastics, they tend to have changed colors from white to a yellow, dirty color from years of dirt and smoke. If these areas aren't badly worn, I tend to leave them. I feel it's okay for a machine of its age to have a little bit of character. They're under the plastics normally, so that when the machine's put together, they're not going to really show that much. I will touch up any areas that are down to the wood, or if they're really bad, I'll repaint them. It's a matter of choice if you'd rather have them repainted. If I do repaint them, I don't use a white. I use an off-white, generally light buttermilk, or on really badly yellowed ones, you can use buttermilk or French vanilla. Works well too. Another area that tends to have a fair amount of wear is the ball shooter lane and the top arch. A lot of times these areas are wood and they're not supposed to be painted, or they're not painted. There's usually always a ball trail from the ball going up on the playfield. Some playfields have, on older EMs, they have wood areas down around the flippers or around the pop bumpers. I personally don't like the look of painted wood. I just think it looks better as wood. I normally just sand it, try to get it even, and then I leave it or clear it. Sometimes it's just not possible to do this. If you have to paint the area and you can't just touch it up, if there's damage to the wood, like that, I try to add a wood grain look to the paint. It generally looks okay, and I prefer to leave it if at all possible, but if not possible.
Stand up.
Oh, come on, guys. Okay. It's an 84 chick flick. Kevin Bacon, Laurie Singer, Sarah Jessica Parker. Stand up.
It's Gorgar.
Thank you. Come up and get your prize. Probably the hardest part to do when touching up a playfield is lettering. Next to those darn dots, anyway. Most playfields have lettering or numbers on them, and they usually need to be touched up some manner or another. Some are not too bad. Others can be a real bear. On most older EM games, the lettering isn't real uniform. So on newer games, it's more uniform, like it's, you know, perfect. This makes it a bit easier to touch it up or repaint it or replace it completely if needed. Larger lettering is generally not too much of a problem. Sometimes if it has a border around it, it's a bit more difficult, but generally not too bad. The smaller the lettering, the harder it is to repaint. I try to do this by hand when at all possible. Sometimes if it's necessary to replace decals, to use decals to replace lettering. If I have to use decals, I start by cutting them as small as possible. I leave just what I have to leave to get the letters on there. Why? Well, because I figure the smaller the area of decal under the clear, the less chance that it's going to bubble or peel. Normally, when you get a set of decals, they come with the borders all the way around the inserts. And you can see where I've cut them out. So it's just barely big enough to get the letter on. I put them on the... Stand up.
American Graffiti Vampire.
Get your pants. Another common playfield wear pattern problem is wear all the way to the wood. A lot of times, this is in an area with a complicated design. On my Cosmic Gunfight, there are several areas that are worn down to the wood. Also noticed someone tried to touch it up. I had to remove all that before I could touch it up myself. In these areas, I use the same technique as I talked about before. I put down the base coat, and then I use a pencil to fill in the design. Then I paint the design back in, so that it looks as original as possible. Normally, when I do this, I have a close-up picture of the area that I'm painting. I lay it right there so that I can use it as a reference as I paint. Once I have the design back in, I add the touches of color. On my Faro, there was a lot of wear coming off of the ramp right on the snake's head. This is where that picture helps get everything back in exactly where it's supposed to be. I painted the black lines first, then I added the color, painting the snake's head back in on this pharaoh was really bad because I had to replace half of his head, and I really hate snakes. After you've gone to all the trouble, time and trouble, and you put all that money into it to fix your play field, to make it look good, you need to protect your touch-ups somehow. There are a few different ways to protect your touch-ups. You could use Mylar, cut to cover the areas that have been touched up so they don't wear. I'm not a fan of Mylar. I personally don't care for the way Mylar plays, and it can bubble and cause more problems down the road than it's worth. If you apply Mylar over touch-ups and later you decide that you want to go back and take the Mylar off and clear coat the play field, when you pull the Mylar off, it's not only going to pull the Sharpie or the touch-ups that you've used, it's going to pull original paint as well. So you're going to end up doing more touch-ups in the long run than you would have had to do it to begin with. Some people use thin super glue applied over the touch-ups. I've never used this method. I guess I figure if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it all the way. The method that I use to protect my touch-ups is to clear coat the play field. This method's a bit more involved than the others, but it will last longer, and in my opinion, it's the better way to go. Now, there are different types of clear coat as well. There's automotive clear. I've never used automotive clear. I feel that it's not really for the do-it-yourselfer. There's a lot of issues with ventilation, protective clothing, safety issues that right now I'm not willing to deal with. Then there's Varathane, a protective coating for wood floors. There are also other brands of water-based polyurethane, and I'll eventually try some of them, but right now I'm comfortable with the Varathane, so I'm going to stick with that. Varathane comes in a gallon can be brushed on, or you can put it in an air gun and use an air compressor to spray it on. It gives a more level finish that way. You can also occasionally find Varathane in the spray cans. It's difficult, but it is out there. I actually used spray cans on the first two playfields that I cleared, my space shuttle and my sorcerer. It's okay when you're going to just do a couple of playfields, but the nozzles tend to clog up and the paint gets clumpy. You don't get nearly as uniform spray pattern with the... This movie stars William H. Macy. Anybody? Stand up. Whoever said that. Stand up, Harry.
I don't know the movie.
It's William H. Macy, Sam Jones, Sam Neill. Sorry, Sam Neill. I'm sorry. Who said it? Stand up. Dinosaurs. Who said that? Yeah, come up and get a prize. Even though you didn't stand up. When I touch up a backlash, after it's clean and dry, I usually tape up the store windows with masking tape. Then I wipe the glass off to make sure there's no dust or anything that's settled on it. Then after I've wiped it off, I usually put a coat of triple thick on. I start out with a triple thick. If I start out going in one direction, I usually start on the left-hand side of the glass at the top. I go across and back. I work my way all the way down to the bottom of the glass, making sure not to get it too thick, but you want to hit the entire glass, just a nice even coat. Let it dry for a couple hours, and then I do another coat, and I go in a different direction, so I'll start at the bottom of the glass, go to the top of the glass, work my way from the left side to the right side. Then I let that dry for a couple hours, same way, nice even coat, cover the entire glass. If the glass is flaking really badly, I'll go back and do a third coat, and I'll just do it the same way that I did the first coat. Let that dry. Touching up a back glass is similar to doing a play field in the fact that you're using the same paints, same brushes. The difference is that you're painting on glass. For the most part, you're painting in reverse. You're painting on the back side of the glass, so everything's going to appear backwards. I have my light table. My husband built it for me when I was doing stained glass. And it comes in real handy for that because the light comes through and you can still see your design and your colors. The first thing you want to do is pick your color. I start by laying the glass on my light table and I use my color plates again, run it over, and match the color. When you're doing your back glass, you have to try to match the translucency. To do this, this is where the acrylic paint retarder comes in. When you add this, it's thinning the paint, which slows the drying time and gives the glass, the paint, more translucency for the glass. It also helps even out any brush strokes. It will lighten the color slightly when you do this. So when you start out doing it, if you have a slightly darker shade, it'll lighten it a little bit. When I mix, I take one drop of paint and I put it in my mixing tray, and then I take two drops of the retarder and I mix them up with a toothpick. It generally comes out being about the consistency of milk. I put some on the glass and spot to see if the color match is going to be good. If not, you just take paper towel and wipe it back off. You gotta love that triple kick. When you paint on a back glass, it's not so much painting as sort of putting a blob of paint on and then pushing it around. This also helps get rid of the brush strokes because the paint will spread and level out as it dries. Let the glass lay flat to dry. Backglass is usually flake from the heat affecting the ink. Some backglass will have a crackling or spiderweb effect where the ink separates. If these areas are in non-translucent areas, you need to match the color, add a little bit of retarder, and then paint, making sure to overlap a little bit on the edges, because otherwise where it's crackled, you're going to get little dots of white showing through. After you've painted, you might want to cover the areas with a backing color, and this helps make it non-translucent like the rest of the area, as well as make the glass look, the back of the glass look similar. If your touch-ups are in the translucent areas, they're a bit tougher. My light table helps fixing these areas because I can lay the glass on it and still see the design and the colors. For these areas, the color needs to be thinned a bit more to match the translucency as much as possible. When doing these areas, you also have to be a bit more careful with the overlap. If you overlap in the translucent areas, it's going to show up much darker in those spots where you overlap. Once you've done your touch-ups in these areas, you might want to do a final coat over this area with an off-white color, usually light buttermilk. This evens out the translucency and also gives the back of the glass a more original look. A common problem on back glasses is paint loss around the score windows from the displays rubbing on the glass. To fix this, I use the masking tape I placed in the score windows originally as a line. Normally, the innermost line around the window is black. I paint this line without using the retarder, overlapping onto the tape to get a nice straight edge. Then I add the colors using the black line as my guide to keep them straight.
Space station.
We've been in space station.
Don't forget your prize. On some back glasses, certain colors tend to have started to flake completely off. For instance, on the Williams games, colors that tend to flake the most are the reds, yellows, and the flesh tones. If a large area of one color has flaked away, I normally use an airbrush to restore it. With the airbrush, you don't have to worry as much about the brush strokes, but you do have to mask off the areas that you don't want painted. I've done this on a couple of play fields, but I normally don't do it this way because I normally clear coat the play field and the clear will level out any brush strokes that are left when you're done. To do this on a back glass, you have to first remove any loose paint from the back of the glass. It's also a good idea, if possible, to remove the entire color that you're going to be airbrushing because it's really hard on a back glass especially to match the exact color and get the translucency and everything. So if you're going to be doing the whole area, just get rid of everything that you can, and then you don't have to worry about the color matching. You put the airbrush medium in, and that lightens it anyway. After you scrape the paint away, you need to triple thick the glass. Then you need to make a pattern of the area that you're going to spray. I use some heavy white construction paper. I try to start with the edge of the construction paper on the edge of the glass so I can tape down the paper without having to put tape on the back of the glass. I lay it on the glass on my light table. Then I trace the areas I'm going to airbrush with a pencil. I make a separate pattern for each color. Then I take it off the glass and I lay it on a heavy piece of cardboard, take an X-Acto knife, and cut out the pattern. After it's cut out, you lay it back on the glass and tape it back down so it's secure. And then you're ready to airbrush. I mask off all the other areas with newspaper. I use pennies and nickels to hold down my pattern. It keeps it in place when I spray. I'm not going to go into all the different types of airbrushes. I'm just going to say I got a Testers Aztec series. I spent about $130 on it. It came with many different tips and bottles to use when you're airbrushing. I really thought that I would use it on play fields more than I do. But you have to do a lot more masking off when you use it on a play field because of the overspray. So time-wise, for me, it's just easier and quicker to use a brush. When you airbrush on a back glass, there will be some overspray. However, with the triple thick on it, you can wipe it off pretty easily. I use a Q-tip and rubbing alcohol. Gently wipe the rubbing alcohol over the overspray area. And this works great on larger areas. You can do it on smaller areas too. You just have to be careful that you're only removing the overspray. On my solar fire, this was my first attempt at airbrushing multiple colors in the same areas. I started by putting in the yellow, and then I sprayed the orange, and then I covered both of those colors with the red. It looked okay, but when I put it in the machine, you couldn't see the orange or the yellow at all. So I took my rubbing alcohol and a paper towel and some Q-tips, and I removed it all. I removed all the red, orange, and yellow. And then I made a new pattern, and I sprayed the red first. And then I took a Q-tip and the rubbing alcohol and got the red out of the areas where the orange and yellow was supposed to go. I painted the orange and yellow in by hand. When I was finally satisfied with my work, I left the glass dry for a day. And then I put my backing color on. Started with some gray in the lower areas, and then I sprayed white buttermilk over the entire glass. It turned out much better, in my opinion, and there are not as many coats of paint on the glass. This back glass took a lot of work, but I think it turned out pretty good compared to what it looked like when I started. While I was working on my solar fire back glass, I found another type of paint that works pretty well on back glasses. It's Createx. It's an airbrush paint. They come in the same type of bottles as the Americana. And they're acrylic paint, but they're already thinned for use in an airbrush. They're a bit more expensive than the Americanas, and they don't come in as many color choices. But they do work well for backglass touch-ups. The only problem that I've found with them so far is that they tend to stay sticky. Even after they've dried for several days. So I learned on my solar fire that after you do a color, if you don't want to keep sticking your finger or your arm in the sticky paint and messing it up, put a coat of triple thick on it, and then it's good to go. I use these on solar fire, as well as my Americana paints. But with the Americana paints, I had to put the airbrush medium in it. And with these, you can just dump them in the reservoir for your airbrush, and you're good to go.
Space Invaders.
I'm about to get your prize. Spaceballs and Space Invaders. First of all, I wanted to thank Corn and Clay because my CD wouldn't work yesterday, and they're my heroes. They fixed it for me. I want to thank everybody for coming. I enjoyed spending the morning with you, and I hope I have helped convince at least some of you to attempt your own restorations. The more pins we can save, the better off we all are. If you have any questions, I'll be here for the rest of the expo. And I might, if time allows, be up in the Pin Game Journal booth, and I'll actually do some touch-ups, demonstrations. Have a great time at Pinball Expo.